God so made man's heart that he is dissatisfied with life on the surface. He possesses a deep-seated craving for what is essential and what is eternal. It's right in his heart.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I think every Christian needs to realize that Jesus Christ is absolutely sufficient to meet every one of our needs. Whatever those needs might be, the Son of God is quite capable of meeting them. We need no one else. And the fourth credential supplied by Isaiah in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, which substantiates that thesis, is this credential: His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. Now that's a peculiar expression, that the Son should be called the Father is puzzling for a moment until we understand the Jewish mentality. In a Jewish culture, in the Jewish mind, the term Father always carried with it the idea of originator of something, the originator of something, the progenitor of something, or the author of something. It could be used in a metaphorical as well as in a literal or a physical sense. So Jesus Christ in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 is the Everlasting Father. If you were to translate that quite literally, the Hebrew is the Avi Av, the Father of Eternity, would be a literal rendering of that phrase. He is the Father of Eternity. The Avi, the Father of Av, Eternity. Jesus Christ is the originator. He is the author or the progenitor of all that is eternal and everlasting in your life and in mine. He is the Father of Eternity. And he spawns, he fathers, he originates, he authors an eternal dimension in the life of each one of us. Only Jesus Christ can do that. He lifts us above the level of the temporal. He sets us free from the binding influences of time, the weapons of time against us. He sets us free from those binding influences, and he introduces us into the sphere of the eternal. He gives us some roots in eternity. And I think that there are two, as I look at it, there are two significant aspects of this facet of Christ's character. He's the Father of Eternity that need to be analyzed. And I see them right here in this expression. He is the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity. Two facets of that aspect of his character that need to be analyzed. First of all, I want to look at his paternal qualities. He's a father. What does it mean that Jesus Christ is the Everlasting Father? In the biblical model, what does it mean to be a father? I think that there are five terms, if they're properly understood, that will help us to discern the significance of this imagery of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Father. In the biblical model, it means something very significant to be a father. And I believe there are five terms that will express or answer that question. What does it mean for him to be our father? The first term, which explains what it means to be a father in terms of the biblical model, is that term patriarch. In the patriarchal system of the ancient world, the father had supreme rights. He was a patriarch, a significant personality, a prominent personality in the truest sense of the term. The family in the ancient world was viewed as a little kingdom within itself, over which the father, the patriarch, was to rule. The second term, which explains the model of fatherhood in the Bible, is the word priest. The emphasis there is on spirituality. Before the institution of the Levitical priesthood in the Old Testament patriarch was also the priest of his family. So Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Jesus Christ, the Father of Eternity, the one who spawns the eternal dimension in our lives. And then he is our provider. The emphasis there is on sufficiency. The Hebrew word for father, by the way, is Av. And it means, at rock bottom, the one who nourishes or the one who provides. One of the great tasks of the father in the home is to provide materially and spiritually for his wife and for his children. He's to nourish them, and he's to cherish them. Patriarch, priest, and provider. And then, number four, he's a protector. That's always the function of a father. A father is to protect his wife and his children. Every father has a moral obligation to protect his family from the evils around them and the dangers that can invade their lives. So Jesus Christ is the one who delivers us from ultimate peril. And daily he saves us from the common perils of sin and of Satan, because greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the world. He is our protector. He provides for us safety. There's a final word that governs the function of a being as a father, and that word is passion or love. The biblical model requires that a father be sensitive to the needs of his children and his wife. And it requires that all that he does in fulfilling his responsibility as a father, he is a patriarch, he is a priest, he is a provider, he is a protector. It requires that all that he does in fulfilling those responsibilities, all that he does is to be done in a context and in an atmosphere of love, very clearly taught in the Bible. But now Jesus has not only paternal qualities, according to Isaiah 9:6, but he has eternal qualities. He is the Father of eternity, or he is the everlasting Father. And that is to say that Jesus Christ spawns the eternal dimension in each one of us. You may have come empty. You may have come without meaning. You may have come frustrated. And you need that eternal, that spiritual dimension in your life. We want you to know that Jesus Christ can do something mighty. He can do something powerful in your life. He can radically transform you in these moments if you'll place your faith in him, if you'll allow him access to your life. Now, as I see the eternity of Christ, which can be spawned in us, I see it at least in four things which are directly traceable to the Son of God. Can I share them with you very quickly? First, the eternity of Jesus Christ is seen in the creation, where we were given the capacity for the eternal. And then secondly, it's seen in his incarnation, where we are given a visible portrait of the eternal. And then thirdly, it was seen in his crucifixion, where we are given the potential for the restoration of the eternal in our lives. And finally, it can be seen in our own personal salvation, where we are given the actual realization of the eternal in our lives. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First, it becomes evident, the eternity of the Lord Jesus Christ becomes evident in the creation. The eternal invaded time. First, in the creation, the imprint of the Father of eternity, the everlasting Father, is evident in his creatures. Jesus Christ is God's agency in the creative act. All things were made by him, John 1, and without him was not anything made that was made. And eternity invaded time, first of all, in the creation. I believe that's Solomon's meaning way back in the Old Testament. See if you can follow me now. We've got to think this through for a moment. I believe this was Solomon's meaning way back in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11, Solomon said, "He has also set eternity in their heart." It says in the King James Version, it says, "He also has set the world in their heart." The Hebrew is ha'olam, and it means eternity. God set eternity in our hearts. When he made us, he gave us the capacity for the eternal. In other words, God so made man's heart that he is dissatisfied with life on the surface. Because he's a man created in the image of God, he possesses a deep-seated craving for what is essential and what is eternal. It's right in his heart. Ecclesiastes 3, in verse 11. Nuts and bolts, the physical and the material, technology and biology simply don't meet man's deepest needs. These are all things up on the surface. Man is always on a quest for something deeper, something more meaningful, because eternity, the capacity for it, is built right into his nature. He's made in the image of an eternal God. God placed it in his heart. And until you're properly related to the Father of eternity, until you've placed your faith in the Son of God and received him as your own Lord and Savior and allowed him to spawn, father, or originate or author this dimension in your life will always be empty. I urge you never to give up this quest until you find it in Christ. Whenever a man gives up this quest, it's one of the saddest things in all the world to see, and it's all around us in our culture today. Whenever a man gives up this quest and begins to live only for time instead of for the eternal, He loses something very significant. He loses depth. He loses inspiration. He loses meaning. He becomes little more than a shell, living in a world of sheer artificiality. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is the tragic watchword of the man who has denied the eternity that is potentially in his heart and has abandoned himself to the physical world. I urge you never to do that. Come to Christ instead. Receive him, trust him, and he will spawn in your life an eternal dimension that was not there before. God gave you the capacity for that eternal dimension when he created you. It's right in your heart. Now, the second place in which the eternity of Christ is made evident or is seen is not only in the creation, but also in the incarnation, the enfleshment, so to speak, of God, where we're given a visible portrait of the eternal. The eternal invaded time, secondly, in the incarnation. John could say, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, John could say, for the life was manifested. He's talking about the life of God personified in Jesus Christ. The life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, that eternal life. Eternity invaded time when Jesus Christ invaded our planet. That eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. In Christ, eternity entered time concretely. In unmistakable form, the eternal was materialized before our eyes. It could be heard. John says that. It could be seen. It could be gazed upon. It could be touched. And through that action, there came the possibility of a change in mind, in man, a change from death into life, a change from mere existence into real living. Jesus Christ is eternity materialized before our eyes. John could say, we have heard it. It's that which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. 1 John chapter 1. And verse 1. It's amazing when you look at Jesus what you see. You see things from the eternal perspective when you look up into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture. We're taught that the words of Jesus were words of eternal life, John 6 and verse 68. We're taught that the deeds of Jesus had in them the quality of eternity. He spoke as no man spoke, and he functioned as no man ever functioned. The dimension of eternity was evident not only in his words but in his deeds. You look at the values of Jesus. How different they are from our values. The values of Jesus bore the perspective of eternity rather than time. They were radically different. Jesus saw the publicans and the sinners not as fuel for the fires of hell as the Pharisees did, but he saw them as candidates for the glories of heaven. I thank God for that. I'm a sinner. Jesus saw me in that way. Not as fuel for the fire of hell, but as a candidate for the glories of heaven. He made me his son. He saved my soul. He placed me in God's family. He cleansed me. He forgave me. He gave me an eternal destiny, heaven. Thank God for that. I thank God for the eternal values of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Delay, decay, and death, the weapons of time, we're fearfully bound by those until we come to Christ. He sets us free from them all.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.